Welcome, everybody, to Cup with Gup on this beautiful Thursday, September 16th, 2021. We are back with another episode of your daily hot topics. Really enjoy getting in the groove of doing these every day. Tons of good feedback from you guys, so we're going to keep them rolling. Right now, you can join Gup's Corner with the code CUP, C-U-P, get 15% off any package, and includes a 7-day risk-free trial. If you don't like what you see before the 7 days is up, you can cancel and you will never get charged. Rate and review us on iTunes. I will be announcing some winners tomorrow over our big kickoff week for NFL. So basically almost the last 2 weeks. Rate and review as it goes back. If you've ever done it, you're in the pool. If you don't remember, go ahead and get one in because it'll just pop you up there again. Like and subscribe to this YouTube channel. Like this video, please. In the comments, tell me your favorite captain option for tonight's Thursday night football game. Any comments that you have left over those last couple weeks, I've been gathering all the names, and you were in the drawings as well. So I'll gather all that up, and I'll figure out how many Millie tickets give away tomorrow for Sunday's slate. So get in there, get that done. Free money to be had for helping us out on that. Underdog right now, free $10 with a deposit of $10 and use the code GUP, G-U-P. All of our affiliates, you can go to gupscorner.com/affiliates and check out their links there, or just download the app. Underdog, tremendous app. NBA and NHL best balls are there. Daily NFL stuff is still up there. There's a Thursday night rumble, $10 to enter. So you can deposit $10, get a free $10, throw a couple entries into that. 50,000 in prizes tonight alone, 10K to first, little four round drafts. You can go check that out. Lots going on at Underdog. Glad to be partnered with them this season, and we're going to continue that all the way through the Super Bowl and hopefully beyond. I know there's some chatter about the NBA stuff yesterday. So if you're into that best ball, our GC Warrior Room is great for talking strategy and you know, see what everybody else is going on those. I've not done a best ball for anything other than NFL, so I'm interested to kind of see how that goes, take a look at it. I'm sure I'll jump in as well. PGA got kicked off, not without stress, sweat, agony, with the John Rahm news breaking yesterday. He withdrew from the Pro-Am, and he canceled his presser. And all basically all we got was stomach issues. Didn't know what, didn't know how. So obviously he was going to be the highest owned and most popular player. You had to like him in this field. I didn't do much last night. I kind of, because it was West Coast, we had till 9 o'clock my time, 10 o'clock Eastern time. So I knew he had some wiggle room, to get things changed up. I had my thought process as far as if he plays or doesn't play, how I was going to react to that. Really didn't get anything this morning at all. We got nothing, actually. As it kept going on, I was more in the camp of, well, if it's at all, let's say it's, you know, bubble guts or anything like that, like the risk of him withdrawing mid-tournament, during the tournament, being dehydrated, any of that kind of stuff just devalued the $12,100 I had to pay for him with all that in there. Not to mention he could withdraw after lock, technically, because it's tea time. The nice thing was his tea time was 7:44 local, so you figured we would hear, may not be much time before lock, but we would hear that he had withdrawn. It wasn't like he had a PM tea time where we really would have had to sweat it. I think he'd have been much lower owned if he was a PM tea time, because there's a chance he could withdraw after lock and you're just drawn dead. I decided that I was going to be, I moved him out of the core. I wasn't going to play him in the core at all. Could be a good MME play, but I felt if there was no news at all, no definitive, most would still play him and he wouldn't drop, you know, just a ton, which is what happened. No news came out. And it wasn't just the 12-1, it was the gap, right? He was 1,100 over the next player. So I was like, man, if I have any concerns, and I still think he's going to garnish some ownership. And he still came in second behind Na in the fresh start, $25, $200K to first. Now I saw it as a leverage spot, you know, and really that's how it came down to. There was also massive overlay in some of the contests today. Most of the large MMEs, I think, filled The $25 was just short. The $5 I think filled. I can't see any of the anything under most of the time $4 or $5. So, but you know, the $55 was short. You know, pretty good short. I think 400 entries or so. The $200 single entries, with an hour to go, they're at like 400 ish. They're about half full. They ended up getting about 600, but it's still pretty good overlay there. So there were some options there to be had. Some people probably played a little more than they would have just because of that overlay. So hopefully you took care of that. I don't know how that's going to affect PGA going forward. I think some could say, well, people didn't want to do it because they were nervous about ROM, but it really wasn't pacing very well all week in some of these contests. Now, I believe some of those contests were horrendous pace structures, and maybe people are starting to wise up and realize that if we don't stop playing these 33% to first, 14 to 16% rate contests, they're going to just keep putting them out there. I mean, I speak my mind when I'm asked, and you know, when I talk to my reps there and stuff, and I think they're garbage. I mean, I think for the ecosystem, I think they are, because long term, you know, especially if there's more options out there to do. So your prize picks, your monkey knife fights, your underdogs, your prediction strike, you know, which is taken off well for us. I know we've had a lot of chatter, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. You know, NFTs, which I'm not really into, but I mean, there's only so much wallet share, as we call it, you know, I call it on the business side, that's out there, right? Like, how much of that wallet can you get when you're looking at consumers? Well, I mean, through time, if people keep playing these big, huge contests, they realize, man, I just can't make money. Yeah, no shit. There's, you know, 28,000 lineups in that one this week. And I want to say 10th place in it. Let's see if I could pull it up real quick. I think 10th place was $1,000 this week in the $25 entry. First was 200,000. Can you imagine finishing 9 spots out and you're 109? I mean, it's just, I get it, it's fall swing and all that, and you're trying to attract that top prize. But hopefully we see improvement on that. I think a little bit flat. They don't have to go extremely flat. I get that. You still want to be able to pump those big prizes. But in these niche industries, especially with guys are now, you're even competing against wallet share within your own business. As far as drafting goes, college football is taking off. You know, I think we have some of the best coverage in the industry. You know, you get daily NFL with showdowns. They're huge. It's a millie maker tonight again. You know, we had a showdown for college football tonight, a 2-game tomorrow, then Saturday, you know, Sunday would be loaded with NFL. I mean, so there's so much going on at this time that, if they want to continue to keep PGA propped up, I think addressing some of that, what I hope doesn't happen, they just shrink everything down massively now because it was a bad week, and it kind of affects that, but we'll see. Ownership review, I'm not going to go too much into it. I mean, obviously, you know, ROM comes in at 25%. I originally had him at 35%. So with that news, he did take a little bit of dip. And with that, other things are just going to be thrown all off. You know, probably the biggest, Kevin Na and Willie Z look to garner most of the ROM ownership. So they both were bumped up quite a bit in my eyes of what they would have been. Willie Z probably getting the most. Matsu, and I kind of said this earlier, or maybe, I don't know if it was last night, this morning, that I didn't think he was going to get a lot of the bump because I felt most were going to go if I'm moving off of ROM, I might as well drop down to a Willie Z, a Nah, and go more balanced-ish. And I think that's what happened. And you see the ownership, that's kind of what it looks like. I mean, Matsu, I had him at 8% or 7.8. He comes in at 10.8. So really not that big of a bump. I think most went down to Nah, Willie Z, or even down, you know, to the start in the 9s and 8s and just went super balanced. Outside of that, I mean, Nah was there. Reavie didn't come in as high as I thought. He actually came in closer to what I thought he was going to be to start the week. But I kept hearing his name and consistent. He's going to be a good floor player. So I bumped him up. Munoz, I really thought was going to be popular. He surprised me. And I don't know if that's because he's 9,200. I would have thought that he would have, you know, with people moving off ROM or even starting ROM could have went to Munoz. So really surprised there. That's probably a big surprise for me. The biggest Corn Ferry kind of bump was Chad Ramey. I thought it was going to probably be Taylor. They both were owned about the same. Ramey was 12.5. Taylor was 11.2. But I didn't think Ramey was going to get as much pub. So they did. People went to him. I mean, we talked about this Monday. I talked about it with Travis, is that you're going to have, where 2 years ago, I don't know if people would even know that these guys are going to be talked about, and they are. Even Jaeger, Steven, he was 10%. I thought he's going to be around 3 or 4. So certainly some learning curves there as we mark this. You know, Corn Fair guys come on. We'll see how they perform. You know, in 2 weeks, we'll be at the Sanderson Farm. So, you know, there may be some overreaction to that, underreaction. This fall swing is an adjustment, especially ownership. It's definitely hard. I used to not even do the projections because there's so much variables right now and people not focused on it per se. But still going to do them. I'm going to give it my best shot. And this week was thrown off by the ROM stuff. So I'm not putting a whole lot into it. But that, other than that, I think everything else was about what I thought it would be. In turning up right now, we got Siwoo -5. I didn't like him on Monday, and then it looked like he was going to be the lowest up there, and he was. He was 5% owned. I had him at 5.1. He came in at 5.6, so I started to kind of like him. But I only did 5 lineups this week, so I didn't have a big MME or anything like that. Homa's right there at -4. He's streaky, but back on in Cali where he plays well. Doesn't surprise me. I wouldn't on him, though. And then Straka was a guy I did talk up as the week went on. He's 3 under. Just to note, Rahm is 1 under through 10 holes, T26 right now. Next week is the Ryder Cup, Friday through Sunday. I do expect DK to have some type of contest, probably modeled off after the President's Cup. If that's the case, I will do some kind of smash on it a little bit, and then at least 1 or 2 premium content articles. There's only so many ways, just like we'll get into Showdown tonight. Showdown, if they do Captain Showdown, which I think will be the format, potentially, it's more about the strategy of who's gonna go, who's gonna not, and all that kind of stuff. But we'll be on it. No doubt about it. But then 2 weeks from now, we got Sanderson's Farm, Garcia defending the title, and 3 weeks from now, Shriners as Party Marty Laird defends his title there. All right, enough golf. NFL, we have Thursday night showdown tonight. I put my premium article out just a few minutes ago for the subs. Change up the strategy a little bit tonight. Get a little more concise on how I'm feeling. We got Washington -3.5, over under 40.5. Implied score is 22-18.5. Washington over the Giants. Only key injury to note for me is Barkley. He's $10,000. I think he's going to play. He may be questionable for a while just coming off that injury. But I do think his snaps will still be limited, especially coming off a short week. My prediction for the game is Washington 27-17. I kind of talked, I went in depth on strategy and all that. You can go check out the article. But, I do think it's important to reemphasize that a lot of showdown, really, especially NFL showdown, but pretty much any. I mean, a script, like, how do you think the game's going to turn out? Especially if you're doing 1-3 max stuff. Like, if you're MME in, I think, but I do think even in MME, it's like, let's say you're going to do 100 lineups. It's not, though, it's so hard for the human to go think two completely different ways about a game and build that way, because you're more comfortable with one or the other. Like, either, let's say you think Washington's going to dominate. To go out there and build 20 lineups with a script that the Giants win, 24-13 is very hard, because your mind and everything's saying Washington's going to dominate this thing. The books are saying Washington's going to win in a low, ugly scoring game, right? So I think that is one of the most difficult things to do. A lot of people, we kind of checked the pulse. We did surveys and all that within our community. And in these situations, it seems like more people than not do the 1-3 max type of deals. Now, I will say we've seen a massive uptick in MME stuff, mainly because the Green Machine lineup optimizer we have, people are getting more and more comfortable with it. And it's super easy to walk through that, to build your pools, build your stacks, do all this, that a lot more people are DMing me saying, man, I'm not a big player, but I did, 100 lineups in the dime or the 25 cent or whatever, just because I wanted to try it out, and it's really cool. And that's what it's there for. It's awesome. you know, but my focus is more like, all right, what's the way, at least for the community, like I could go through 10 different scripts, but you're still going to be confused. I personally think it is going to be low, lower. Well, let me take it back. I like the over if I was going to go either way. I don't think I'm going to touch it because I can see it just being ugly and not much movement. But the main reason I think the over is in play because of turnovers. I think we will see some turnovers tonight. Daniel Jones is, you know, we know he can turn over at the heartbeat. You got one of the worst offensive lines in the league playing one of the best defensive lines in the league. If Washington gets up quick, now you got Jones in a, you know, predicament of having to throw, and they know it's coming, and that pressure is going to be there all night. And those turnovers lead to short field positions, quick scores, stuff like that. Now, you could still have more field goals and touchdowns for sure, but I do think it could be a trappy thing that everybody goes, oh, ugly, Giants, Reds, or Washington, sorry, under. It could go over. I think that's, in theory, in there. But I don't think it's going to be like a shootout by any means. That would surprise me if we get over, you know, call it 52 points tonight, you know, and that would be, you know, 12 points over the books. You know, so I do think you got to conserve there. We do have two quarterbacks that have rushing capabilities, can run it in for a touchdown. That's something we don't always get in the NFL, much more common in college. But, you know, Heinicke showed he could run, and that was against Tampa. We saw what that Tampa defense did in the playoff run. He looked good. I think both quarterbacks are in play tonight, whether you go captain or flex, just because, especially if you think it's a low scoring game, there's only going to be so many points out there to be had in that low scoring game. And, you know, with the quarterbacks that can run too, you know, if you're one of those guys out there saying, I think it's going to be 17-13, 13-10, it's hard not to play the quarterbacks because there's, in those scenarios, there's just not many points. Logan Thomas, I think, you know, is up there as a good option tonight. He's a lot of targets from Heinicke in that playoff game. If you go back and look at the stats against Tampa, D's are always, I mean, I think the D becomes a fad a little bit of, oh, Captain D. This is a game though where I could see a Captain D lineup being optimal. I don't play the Captain D a lot because more times than not, I'm talking 95% or more, Captain D is not going to be up there. It's just hard to get them that many points in the optimal. And I think because Barkley is priced up at 10,000, and let's just say he's just not in many people's lineups, and let's just assume he's not in the optimal, it really makes that you could leave money on the table, come into play, because one of the highest priced guys on the slate is, for lack of a better term, not in the player pool in most cases. I probably won't be playing him. I put a little note in the article, and I went into full depth, so you guys can go read that if you want, on a bunch of players. But I put a little note in the article that if you're doing those large field MMEs, he's certainly worth some sprinkles, because one thing about him is he could bust one, right? He may only get 10 touches tonight, but he's certainly capable of breaking off an 80-yard touchdown run. And if he is super low owned because people are worried about his timeshare, you know, the snap count and all that kind of stuff, that's a good play. Now, in a single entry or 1-3 max type stuff, or maybe even 20 max or less, maybe not so much, but I think there's better options tonight. Kickers are in play tonight for sure. Probably, you know, the receivers are, it's kind of a roulette type of deal there. You never know. They're so hard to predict. I do like Gibson. I think he's a solid play. I think Shepard will be a good play tonight because I think Slayton will be pretty popular, and because he's cheaper and, you know, everybody's talking. I've already heard a few stuff, and, you know, even this morning listening around that, you know, last week Shepard was, you know, did really well. So he's the hype or whatever. And I think people go, I'll just take Slayton. He's $1,400 cheaper. In a PPR low scoring game format, I like Shepard because he could go 6 catches for 80 yards, which isn't fantastic, but in a game like this, that's 14 points. And that may be big if there's only 10 to 13 points scored by the Giants or something, or even 17. It could be, I mean, it's going to be a lot of touchdown variance as well. Who winds up getting those? It is massively important in a low scoring game, how that rolls out. You know, probably my dart of the night I'll give out. I gave a couple on the article, but I'll give you one. I don't mind Kadarius Toney. I think I loved him at Florida. We know what he's capable of. He had a limited camp this year. There's a lot to go around, so I get it. You know, with Slayton, Shepard, Galladay, Ingram, you know, Barkley if he's healthy, Jones can run. But at $1,800, if you're looking to save some money and build up from there for whatever reason, because he was limited in camp, he saw, you know, not many snaps last week. I do think a short week kind of, you know, puts me off of him a little bit. But I do think, you know, large field, super flyer deep, you know, think Zay Jones, right? I think it's who it was who kind of broke the slate there on Monday type. Like, he's a guy, like I mentioned, like Barkley, this dude can go. So he may only see the ball four times tonight total. There's a not. I mean, there is a path where he breaks one for 60 yards. And he's used in college running it, sweeps in the backfield, could take a screen. Again, he's $1,800 for a reason. So, you know, high risk reward type of deal, but that's one I wanted to give you guys for the pod. And then everything else I talked about. So we'll have some fun with that tonight. If there's any big updates, I'll let the premium members know. Monkey Knife Fight picks for me. Right now, use the code GUPS, G-U-P-S. Get 100% match up to $100. So if you put 100 in, get 100, put 20 in, you get 20 free. College player props are now live. I checked them out right before I came on. There is not any for tonight's one game, but there are some up for Friday and Saturday. I'm sure Mr. Berger may drop some on his podcast. I will mention some on tomorrow's, or even on the coin flip. But any that I look, I will mention some as well. I think we can take advantage of those college props. That's exciting to see. My two for tonight, I have a more or less, which is three extra money. So if you bet $10, you'd win 30. It is Gibson more than 15.5 points and Shepard more than 12.5 points. So both those have to hit for it to win. Again, Shepard, like I just mentioned, you know, six catches, 80 yards, he gets there easily. So the second more or less 3X your money, I like McLaurin over 74.5 yards and Barkley under 49.5 rushing yards. They do have Barkley up there on several props. If you think he's just not going to do much tonight or they're going to, you know, coddle him a little bit, you could take advantage of that. MonkeyKnifeFight.com, use the code GUPS, G-U-P-S, or go click our link on our site and use that same code. Another guy you may want to try to target in the prop markets, if you see it, is Logan Thomas. He's one of my favorite plays tonight. I think he has a pretty good night. I don't want to say break the slate kind of night, but Noah Fant had some pretty good yard or pretty good success against the Giants. The Giants secondary or corners, especially, are better than what people give them credit for. I think things could funnel to the tight end again. Heineke looked to have a good relationship with them. So I may be on some props there when I release some plays later. For the premium members, coin flip will be out later on today. I will talk about some prediction strike guys that I'm targeting. If you're wondering what the heck prediction strike is, I had the head of strategy on last Monday at Labor Day. You can go check out that podcast. And then on the coin flip, I'll go in again a little bit of what that is. It's basically a stock market version of fantasy sports. I know the instant reaction some was jock market, but it's not, because jock market pays out during a certain event or whatever. This is like an ongoing deal. So like, if you want to buy into a rookie right now, you could have him for 5 years, just like a real stock. Guys in the GC War Room are starting to get into it and look at it, and there's a lot of fun discussions going on there. So I'm enjoying that. I'll be back tomorrow morning as well with Cup with Gup to wrap up the 9-to-5 work week. But we will be going all weekend long. Big Saturday slate. Bobby will have you covered. His podcast will be out later as well. I will be live Sunday morning, 10 Eastern, for the Audible, so we can get all our final NFL thoughts together. Looking forward to another big week. I hope you guys have a blessed day, and I'll talk to you later on the coin flip.